My name is Leanne Cameron and I work at Macquarie University. I'm a lecturer in ICT in the Teacher Education Program. I'll be talking today about a course that we use LAMS in, and we use LAMS to facilitate an effective program of ICT instruction. So we had a course that we inherited that was very much a transition model of technical instruction, teaching students or potential teachers how to use particular products by telling them which buttons to press. The issue that we had with that was that we were teaching them how to teach or how to use a particular product that by the time they graduated was usually superseded by something else. And we felt that perhaps that wasn't really of much long-term benefit to these students. Coincidentally, at the time, a number of reports had just come out, commissioned by the Australian government, and these reports are documented in the referee paper that has been provided with this. And those two reports said that teacher education was teaching the integration of technology and education really badly. So it all coincided at the same time. We started thinking about what we could do to improve this particular course and make it more effective for our potential teachers. The rationale behind what we were doing was we wanted to encourage our students to be thinkers. We wanted them to thinking about what it was they were doing. We wanted them to design real teaching instances or sequences or units of work, and we wanted them to recognise that they were beginning a path of lifelong learning, so that what we were going to teach them was going to point them in the direction, but they had to continue this process throughout their lives. And a lot of that, lots of people would put in their course outline, but we wanted to actively encourage all of those three things to happen in our course. So we realised that what we had to do was we had to really select our approach carefully. And what's more, we couldn't just talk about it. If we're going to be realistic about this, we had to model it. So we had to think about how we approach this and make it relevant and really interesting to the students. At the same time, although we didn't want to have this technical course teaching them how to press buttons, we did want them to have a look and realise that Web 2 tools could be quite powerful when it came to teaching with technology. And we wanted them to understand what they were. And so we had to plan for integrating that and to ensure that the students understood how they could be effectively used from a pedagogical perspective. It meant that we had to rethink the teaching and learning strategies that we're using in this course. So it meant that we had to design these activities that clearly demonstrated a relationship between the theory we were going to give the students, the research that they were going to find for us or we were going to point them to, and then what they were actually doing, this authentic assessment, creating a unit of work. We also wanted them actively involved, so participating as much as possible and really engaged with the process, and we wanted them to think quite critically about what they were doing. Not just produce something because they thought it looked good, but seriously be able to justify what it was they were doing and then reflect on the whole process. We wanted to encourage collaborative investigation of problems because we had hoped that in the real world these potential teachers would be using that technique out in the schools, which they'd be employed in the future. And we wanted our students to be able to design, author these learning activities and then realise the potential for reuse. This problem of teachers reinventing the wheel is a concern. Teachers are so time poor, and yet they continually spend hours and hours developing lessons that almost without exception around the world somewhere, they're all teaching the same thing every year in and year out, and yet we've got all of this initial developing from the ground up. So what we wanted to do is show the students that these designs could be reused, and not necessarily the same designs, but look at designs where they could be modified, where the content might be able to be changed, but the pedagogical structure stays the same. And finally, we wanted the students to have opportunities for co-creation of resources, so working together in the hope that we create group projects, which as it turned out did and worked really, really well. So, the features of this new course. The first thing we did was we had a look at the assignment structure. And the initial assignment structure involved a series of practical activities the students did each week. They just had to complete those activities. And then three hand-in assignments throughout the semester. These three hand-in assignments were, in each case, a written essay. So basically, we realised that these students were being tested on their essay writing three different times. And I really believe that teachers should be really good writers and communicators. But testing the same thing three times, at the exclusion of other things, we decided was not an effective way to effectively assess potential teachers. So we introduced alternative assignment as well. So we still kept one essay in the course, but we moved then to an assignment whereby students were asked to design a unit of work or a lesson. And then additionally, they had to contribute to a series of discussions. So the thing that we introduced with the discussions was online discussions. Previously with this course, we presented readings, and these readings we then discussed in tutorials. It was quite a conventional thing to do in Australian universities, we do that quite frequently. But the issue with that was that if we had a classroom discussion, we usually got about 4 to 6 students actively participating in that. Now when these students were actively participating, that was fine, but in the classroom there'd be often 20 people. And so that was, you know, up to 10, 15 people that you really didn't hear from very much at all. Now, of those people that you didn't hear from, some of them were actively listening, but a proportion we know weren't, and perhaps hadn't even read the readings. So we looked at a way of trying to include everyone as a group. And small group discussions seemed the answer, because it meant that more people were able to participate. But the problem with small group discussions was that if the tutor was wandering around the room while they were happening, the groups where the tutor was far from, they tended to get off track very easily. So the online discussion tended to sort out all of those problems at once. Firstly, we could have small groups, and because LAMS allowed us in the discussion area to monitor as we went through, the students tended to stay on track because they knew that at any time we could be looking at their work, although that wasn't a big issue after the initial couple. They seemed to be just actively involved in the discussion. But another factor was this issue of them being assessed on these discussions, which we could do because LAMS keeps the history, so that everything that's written there were able to save and then review later. So it was really, really interesting how every single student, without exception, contributed to these discussions and really actively got involved, and they became very rich sources of information. And we were absolutely thrilled with how these students engaged with these readings, whereas in previous years, sometimes we weren't totally convinced the students really understood what these readings were about, but these discussions allowed a whole lot of issues to arise. So it was, they were really, really good. There wasn't one tutor working on this course that thought these online discussions didn't work. It was just really, really interesting to look at. We were concerned, however, because initially, when we were planning this for the first time, we knew we had a reasonable proportion of these students who were not native English speakers. So we thought that this style of discussion may disadvantage those students, and we were quite concerned about that, and we kept an eye on that very carefully to start with. But interestingly, those students were some of the most enthusiastic proponents of this particular system, because they found that by being able to read the text rather than having to catch it as the native speakers spoke so quickly meant that they could get the meaning and understand what was happening. Secondly, they could reply without accent, so they weren't embarrassed about writing things, and they could take their time over their writing and really consider what it was they were trying to say. So it was one of the surprises of this whole approach, was how well the non-native speakers took to it. We did have to think about what type of online discussions we were having, synchronous or asynchronous. So synchronous being in the room at the same time. So these students were physically sitting in the same room with computers at the same time. So they could have easily had a classroom discussion, but we had them typing in on the computer. We tossed up as to whether synchronous discussion was the way to go, because we thought if it was asynchronous, so we did it over 10 days and they could enter whenever they wanted and take their time to really reply, that we'd get more considered and longer responses. And we thought perhaps that would be a better approach. So what we decided to do was compromise, and the students had to complete three of these discussions. So we had the first one that was synchronous in the classroom. So we introduced them to the software while they were in the classroom. We talked them through the whole process and we worked through it with them, and they had the in-class discussion. It went for about 25 minutes, because they type really fast and really, really tires them out. But the second one we then did asynchronously over 10 days. And then the third one, we went back to synchronous. So we used the LAMS chat for the first discussion, LAMS chat for the third discussion, but we used Forum for the asynchronous discussion. And that allowed threading, so that comments could be related physically to each other, and so that made it a little easier when you were commenting over time. We also introduced e-portfolios as a means of enabling the students to reflect on their learning and their work. This became a really interesting process, because what we wanted the students to do was to look at the outcomes of what we were asking them to do, and then after the fact comment on how well they went, the sorts of things that they felt they could have achieved, how well they did achieve those things, and to talk about their learning. And as potential teachers, we thought that was really, really important. The electronic portfolios were all done in a fairly structured way initially. We gave them some guidelines, some scaffolding, asked them to address the outcomes, follow a particular structure if they wanted to, and most of them did to start with. although as time went on they got a bit more inventive. But we found that giving them a structure gave them a starting point. For those of them who had no idea where to start when it came to reflective writing, really seemed to appreciate this structure. And one of the features of this course was learners as designers. That is, our students were designing units of work. We gave them time in class to work through these, so that if there was going to be any technical issues, then we dealt with them in class as they arose. They then went off and finished their sequence in their own time. Interestingly, we answered questions as they came in via the WebCT LMS that we used, and encouraged other students to answer as well. But then they came back with what they thought was their completed sequence, put them all up on the computers, and then we gave everybody the opportunity of working through everyone else's sequences. So we had a worksheet beside each computer. It was completely anonymous at that point. And so students worked through one of these sequences and then jotted down any issues they had with it. That is, I found this really difficult, or I found this bit great but had issues with this bit. Not quite sure why this came after that. Would have thought it might have looked better at the beginning. And so it really developed these students' ability to critically evaluate this peer's work, but it also helped them understand how to couch those words so that it's not totally decimating to the poor student. But it also meant that when they went back to their own computer, they had a whole lot of different perspectives and ideas about their sequence. And interestingly, at that point, the anonymity didn't seem to matter anymore. So students were actively asking people, who wrote this? Can you help give me an idea of what you mean? And so they started to work together, and this session really worked well, and they became a bit of a team, and they all worked through, and because they got ideas from looking at other people's sequences, this really became a very enriching experience, and the students absolutely thought, almost without exception, that this was a really, really valuable experience. So I've talked about LANs, but I thought I might just quickly show you what they were using. The big advantage for using LANs in our particular case was just the way the students could pick it up so quickly. Previous to using LANs in this particular course, one of the things they had been doing was designing web pages, and that took 13 hours of instruction. These 13 hours of instruction has been now replaced by less than an hour of instruction on LANs. And the issue with the web pages was that the students tended to concentrate on the technical aspects of what they were doing rather than the pedagogical aspects, which is really where we were coming from. What we found with moving to LANs is we can teach them quickly, and it's such a basically simple approach that they are forced really to spend the time then looking at why or how they're doing it. And you'll see from this authoring environment screen, it's quite simple to use. The tools are down the left hand side, all the things that they can use, and then they drag them, drop and drag, over onto the right hand side. So here it's just a matter of dragging across what you want and hooking it up. It sounds incredibly simple, and it really is, until you sit down and try and do it. And one of the most powerful things about it is what I've got shown here on the next screen is the previewing of LANs. So once the students had developed this sequence of learning activity, they could then view it from the perspective of a learner. And this is one of the most powerful things I think there is about LANs, and it's quite unique. It's the ability of them instantly to be able to go through the entire sequence as their students would see it. And it's at this point that suddenly they realise they've made a terrible mistake, or the order should be changed. So it's interesting how frequently a student will tell me they finished their sequence, it's perfect. And I ask them, have you previewed it? And if they say no, I say, well, go and preview it. And when they preview it, it's amazing how frequently they go back and have to make a few changes. And then the last change we made was increasing student scaffolding. So what we did was we moved away from this lockstep tutor tuition, so standing at the front of the classroom, everybody moving through these activities at the same time. We took that away and we allowed the students to work through things themselves. We gave them some very basic instructions at the beginning of each session and they worked away on their own and used each other as resources, which is the way we hope they go out to schools and use those around them as resources. They were provided with help screens and a repository, used the LMS that we used, WebCT, and they were able then to ask us questions at any time, just in time, whenever they needed it, and we absolutely encouraged their peers to answer those questions as well as us. So we were hoping to create the sharing environment that they take away with them. And the sharing environment just carried then over onto this whole concept of reuse. So we introduced them to the LAMS community and encouraged them to upload their sequences onto the LAMS community. And then the LAMS community showed them a whole variety of other sequences of different approaches, perhaps of the same topic that they'd done or different topics. And it really illustrated to them the value of documenting the learning design, particularly if you're going to share it. And I've got a screenshot here of the LAMS community page, and the top of the page looks at forums, so they knew that they had an area to talk of like-minded people. But then in the bottom half of the screen is all the sequences, and those sequences that other people have put up that might be of total different content, but we showed them how the pedagogy behind the sequence might be a valuable resource to them to reuse, even if the content is not their content area. You could replace the content if the structure was sound. So that whole concept there of reuse was really underlined by using the LAMS community. So I guess from what we did was took it this course from a technical skills course to one where the technical skills were still incidentally taught. They still have to know basic word processing and internet searching and things like that to get what they needed, but there was a purpose to what they were doing. And in addition to that, we were able to introduce this theory and a rationale behind what they were doing and implement sound pedagogy, teach them about what it was they were doing, and hopefully they'll be really effective implementers of technology in their own teaching. So thank you very much.